Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone. As Shannon has already mentioned, we are grateful for those who are visiting with us, and we're thankful for your presence. We meet again this evening at 5 p.m. We've been doing a series of study from the Book of Kings and some lessons from that great book, and we'll be looking at another lesson from there this evening. We would be honored to have you back this evening at 5 p.m., and we meet Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We've just started a new quarter in the children's classes and our adult class study in the Book of Philippians, and we would appreciate your presence for that as well. And we're thankful that you're here. When you think of mental preparation, what type of person do you think of that is mentally prepared in going into his or her work? I think of an athlete, for example. If you've been watching some of the Olympic trials and those athletes getting ready for the London Olympics, you'll watch them and you'll see sometimes that before they begin a race, for example, they will be on the sideline or they will be right there at the starting block, and they'll be, you can tell, they're thinking. They're looking down the lane. They're thinking about how they're going to set their feet. They're thinking about that gunfire and getting off to the right start. They're thinking about running the best that they can, and if it's the hurdles, the steps that they're going to have to take for each hurdle, that's going on in their mind. They're mentally prepared. A teacher might be mentally prepared as he or she walks into the classroom. That lesson plan is going on in their mind, what they want to cover. The physician, as he is scrubbing up for heart surgery, he's going over in his mind those procedures that he's going to take from beginning to end so that he will not lose a patient. All of us understand the importance of mental preparation. If you'll turn with me to the scripture reading that we just had in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, we're going to see there that the Apostle Peter also prescribes the matter of mental preparation in living the Christian life. There's a phrase that is used there in the Word of God by the Apostle Peter. It's the phrase, gird up the loins of your mind. And we certainly don't speak that way today. And so I thought it would be good for us to look at that particular statement and that particular phrase this morning with regard to our Christian walk and our daily life. The Apostle Peter writes to gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you look at that phrase, girding up the loins, you find that it is found in the Word of God, and it's a phrase that we don't use today. You know, you don't hear that at Walmart, you don't hear that at the grocery store, you're not talking to your neighbor and somebody's talking about girding up their loins. We just simply don't speak that way today. In part because we don't dress the way that they dressed in Bible times that required the idea of girding up the loins. The phrase girding up the loins, as it is used in the Word of God, was done by gathering up the loose clothing around the waist that would restrict or impede my movement. And so we don't dress with flowing garments today. We don't have these long robes and long garments that need to be gathered up anyway, and so we don't use that type of terminology. But in Bible times, Old and New Testament, folks would wear outer garments and long flowing garments, and they needed to be bound up around the waist. They needed to be tied up so that in walking and in moving, there would be no impediment to that or restriction to that. Often a leather girdle, we would say a belt, would be used. Remember, Elijah had one in 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 8. And John the Baptist was found preaching in the wilderness, and he had a leather girdle about his loins, the scripture says. Well, what was that for? To bind up the garments and hold them together so that one could be prepared and ready to move. We find in Bible times that different individuals did that. A person who was making a trip, a sojourner, would be told to gird up his loins, or someone who was sent off to speak or preach a message, a servant who was doing work for his master, or a soldier who was about to go out onto the battlefield to fight. And so we're going to look this morning at this statement of mental preparation. And it's not just girding up the loins, but Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. I want us to think this morning about the importance of mental preparedness or preparation, mental readiness with regard to our Christian life. As I said, sojourners were told this. You remember back in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11, if you turn there, you'll read about the Israelites who were eating the Passover meal, and they were told to eat that meal in haste. And in eating that Passover lamb, chapter 12 and verse 11, "And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste." And so it's the idea of be ready to go. And so don't just eat the Passover meal, but eat it with your loins girded. Because they were going to make a trip that night. They had to be ready. Speakers were told to do the same thing. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 17, was told to gird up his loins and go preach to his people. He had a very important message. And so the idea of preparation and readiness and seriousness. Servants were told to gird their loins for their work. And this statement is typically used of men in the Word of God, but we find, you remember the worthy woman of Proverbs 31 and verse 17? It says that she had her loins girded as she went out to work. And she would buy a field, and she would go sell the things that she had made. And so it's an idea of being ready to get your hands dirty for work. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, where there's a statement there with regard to servants. A servant would have outward flowing garments, and he would gird that up when his master told him of a job that he needed to do. And it's applied by Jesus in Luke chapter 12, if you'll turn with me there, to being ready for the judgment day. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lamps burning. And be ye yourselves like unto men, looking for their Lord or their master, when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may straightway open unto him. Blessed are those servants." Now look at how it's used with regard to a servant. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and shall come and serve them." And so servants would gird up their loins and be ready for work. Again, if you had outward flowing garments and you were trying to walk, that would get in the way. If you were stooping down to pick something up, that would get in the way. And so you're going to bind all of that together and be ready. And then turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We find it used in one last scenario or example, and that is the soldier who was going out to battle. And you stop and think about that in New Testament times, for example, the Roman soldier. And we have movies today that go back and look at the Roman soldier. They're very popular kinds of movies. When you're out there on the battlefield and you've got your sword and your shield and you're fighting hand-to-hand combat and you're moving rapidly, you might be advancing toward your opponent. You don't want something to encumber you. You don't want something to be in the way. And so the soldier would gird up the loins and he would put that armor on so that he could move. He might need to move out of the way quickly when a sword is being thrust at him. He might need to run. He might need to advance. He might need to hold his ground. And so the idea of being able to move and be prepared for that. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul uses that statement in verse 14. "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." And then, of course, he mentions the other pieces of the armor of God. Back in verse 10 and 11, we're to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the devil. And so this idea of preparation for battle, and we're certainly in a battle for our souls today with the devil, a spiritual battle. I want to talk about this idea of girding up the loins. It means preparation. It means being ready. And what you find is that this idea of girding up the loins is used in Peter, and I want to talk about that for just a moment this morning. Turn with me again then to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want us to look at a few things with regard to this idea of the loins. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." Now, I want us to think about something for just a moment. The idea of girding up the loins really focuses on two things. You get out of the way that which is going to hinder you. And then number two, you're ready to do your job. Let's talk about that first matter for just a moment. You're going to put out of the way, you're going to get out of the way that which is going to impede or hinder the progress. Have you ever thought about what's in your mind that gets in the way? You ever thought about that? What is in your mind that gets in the way from true service to God? Well, I can think of a few things. What about worry and fear? God wants us to go do something. God wants us to talk to our neighbor. God wants us to invite our neighbor. God wants us to do a lot of things. But because of worry and fear of what they might say or what they might do, it gets in the way and we don't do what God wants us to do. So the first thing I want you to think about this morning is when you gird up the loins of your mind, you're getting out of the way those things that are going to hinder the progress of your service to God. And worry and fear can do that. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be anxious or worry in nothing. We're to set those things out of the way that are going to hinder our progress and service to God. And worry and anxiety often does that. We're worrying about things that are not important. We need to keep focused on the spiritual and that which is important in life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, turn with me there, that we're not to worry about those physical types of things like food, shelter, and clothing. He will take care of those things. We're to put the kingdom of God first. A lot of times, worry and anxiety brings people down so much so, not only do they not serve the Lord, but their health is terrible. They're burnt out, they're worn out, they're bothered by the things of this life, and they get sick often, and they're on medication and other kinds of things. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, therefore I say unto you, be not anxious. Or one version says, do not worry for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body and those types of things. God will provide those things, Jesus goes on to say. You put first the kingdom, verse 36, and He'll provide those things. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I want to do a lesson sometime on things that God does not give. And that would be one of them. Well, let me ask you this. If you have it, where did it come from? It didn't come from God. It's something that you allow to have in your life. And fear can keep us from doing what we need to do. Fear of what someone might say. Fear of what someone might do or what they might think. We just simply need to serve the Lord. We need to get that up out of the way and remove it. What about something else like envy or jealousy or hatred or bitterness? There are people that are eaten up with these things. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul calls those things a work of the flesh. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, we're to put away all wrath and bitterness and anger. These types of things in the mind keep me from being the Christian that I need to be. Keep me from having the right relationship that I need to have in my marriage or with my family or with other individuals. Impure thoughts can get in the way. And so Paul calls these works of the flesh that need to be put off and put away. Remember, girding up, first of all, is the idea of gathering up and getting out of the way that which is going to keep me from being the Christian that I need to be. And in my mind, and in your mind, the devil can put things that are in the way and that need to be girded up and moved out of the way so that I can walk forward and serve God. One last thing that is often in the lives of individuals is this idea that I'm better than somebody else. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I'm conceited. I'm proud. I'm boasting. I don't need you. I'm smarter than you. I'm better looking than you are. I don't need your friendship. I walk by you and just blow you off, you see. I don't need that, you see. And so this idea of conceit and pride, and I'm raised up and elevated among others, that's an attitude of mind that can be in us that can impede our progress and service for the Lord. And so in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And in verse 16, we are not to have our mind set on things that are your mind on high things. That I walk around with my nose in the air, this snooty, arrogant attitude, that I'm supposed to condescend to those things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits, where you elevate yourself better than others. These are types of things that are in our mind from time to time, or can be in our mind, and they simply impede our progress and service to the Lord. They need to be gathered up and moved out of the way. But having done that, we also need to be ready for service. Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to look at some things from the book of Peter that illustrate the idea of mental preparation. But to do that, let's get the setting. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, we could turn in our Bibles this morning to a number of places to illustrate this idea of being mentally prepared, but I'd like to just simply stick with 1 Peter this morning. First of all, let's get the context of this. Think about the athlete who is going to run that 100 meters or that 110 hurdles. They're thinking about that goal down at the end of the line. Now think about your life as a Christian. What is the goal down at the end of the line? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, look with me at verse 3. Peter begins to talk about the living hope that we have. And he talks about the inheritance, verse 4, reserved in heaven for you. That's the goal. That's the finish line, heaven. So the context of this statement in verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. The context is, there is heaven. There is a salvation that awaits you. Now, there's going to be some suffering along the way, verses 6 through 9. But there is a salvation down at the end of that road. And the prophets, verses 10 through 12, even the prophets look for this salvation. It is the inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Now, knowing that, look at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. There is heaven down at the end of that track, as it were. Down at the end of that race and the end of that run, there is heaven. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And so the idea then is, as a Christian, we're going to make it to heaven when we are mentally prepared for doing so. When we are ready and prepared mentally for that Christian race. And so I want to look now at this matter of mental preparation and the preparedness that is necessary. Let's look at a few examples from the book of 1 Peter. First of all, we need to be mentally prepared for holy living. When we get up each day, the devil wants us to live an unholy life. The Lord wants us to live a holy life. When we get up each day, we have to be mentally prepared for that. Today, I'm going to speak right and dress right and act right. When we're thinking through that, when our mind is on that, we will be able to live that holy life. When we're not focused in on that, it's the things that come throughout the day that can distract us and can get us to doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Look at chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 in the scripture reading that we had this morning. This statement, gird up the loins of your mind, is followed by, be holy as I am holy. So we need to live holy lives, that is, lives that are set apart. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, that involves spiritual service. We need to be serving God in the local church. Well, I don't need to go to church to be right with God. In chapter 2, verse 5, we are a spiritual house. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Some of that can be done individually when we pray and sing and study our Bible at home. But there are other things that are done corporally or in the assembly, and we need to be here doing that. That's a part of holy living. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. If we would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile or deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. We have to be mentally prepared to do that. We're not going to be doing that unless we're thinking about doing that. Have you ever thought about the times in your life throughout the day where you engaged in something that wasn't holy? Often it's because our mind is not focused, and so we just slip into those things that we shouldn't be doing. Mental preparation is necessary for holy living. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. We are not to walk in the lust of the Gentiles. And then in chapter 4, verse 3, drinking, reveling, carousing, And they think it's strange that you run not with them. There are people out in the world that think it's strange that Christians won't do these things. But when you look at verse 3, lust, wine-bibbing, reveling, carousing, when people engage in that, I think of Mardi Gras, when people engage in that, is their mind focused on holy? No, they're just letting themselves go. And that's why men and women just open up and do whatever someone else wants them to do, even if it's lewd and lustful behavior. We need to be mentally focused for holy living. We need to be mentally prepared for loving service. Look at chapter 1. Again, we could go many places in the New Testament to illustrate these things, but I got to thinking in preparing this lesson, why not just stay in Peter? Peter brought up the matter of mental preparation, and then he lists some things that we need to be mentally prepared for. Look at chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. We need to be mentally prepared for loving service. We need to be thinking about, who can I have over for a meal? Who can I go serve? Who can I go visit? Who can I go take something to? Who can I help out? In chapter 3, in verse 8, look at this. Be like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren. I'm going to have my mind focused and ready on these things. Tender-hearted, humble-minded, compassionate. And then I'm going to go out and do something to help someone. Look at chapter 4 and verse 8. Fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins, using hospitality one to another without murmuring. According to each hath received a gift, ministering it, there's serving others among yourself. So I'm going to be mentally prepared. I'm going to work my schedule so that I can serve someone else. I'm going to change that, and I'm going to plan that I'm going to do something for such and such. Mental preparation helps me along those lines. Look at chapter 5 and verse 5. Be subject. Gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. So my mind is going to be prepared. I'm going to come up with things that I can do to help others. I'm going to adjust my schedule accordingly. I'm going to sacrifice my time so that I can serve others in the local church. Do you think we live in a culture of selfishness or service as a whole? We live in a culture of selfishness. It's all about me. But the Christian way is that of loving service and generosity and hospitality, as Peter mentioned, and we need to be mentally prepared for that. I think of some other things that are in the book of Peter. Turn with me to chapter 2. We need to be mentally prepared with regard to temptation. When is it that the devil gets us to fall into sin? Is it when we're earnestly praying and reading our Bible and engaged in good works? No, it's when our mind really is drifting. And our mind really is not focused on what is right and good. And so he gets us to fall into that temptation. And so we need to be mentally prepared to face those temptations that he's going to throw our way. If he throws my way the lust of the eye, I'm ready for that. If he throws my way the lust of the flesh or the pride of life, I'm ready for that. I'm focused on that. Here I am going throughout the day. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go to work. Or I'm going to go run some errands. And my mind is focused on the fact that he's going to throw something my way. And when he does, I'm not going to give into that. Mental preparation will help us to go through those temptations often that are thrown our way. Peter says in chapter 2 and verse 11, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims. Do you remember the sojourner, the person who's making the travel, he's going to gird up his loins? To abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Remember the soldier who girded up his loins? But look at that, fleshly lusts. We're mentally prepared. Look at chapter 5 and verse 8. How is the devil described in chapter 5 and verse 8? As a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so when he comes my way, I am mentally prepared. Do you remember Matthew chapter 4 when the devil approached Jesus with regard to the temptations? Each time Jesus said, it is written. His mind was focused on combating that with the Word of God. often we fall into temptation and give in to that because our minds simply are not ready and prepared. And we just engage in that and we're not thinking about it. Mental preparation will help us to face those temptations. Having our minds set on the Scripture. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 in verse 7, "Thy word I have laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so my mind is musing over those and meditating on those things that God says. And so when that temptation is thrown at me, I do not give in. Mental preparation is necessary for being subject in the different areas of my life. Turn with me to chapter 2. "Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." There are exceptions with regard to evil governments, but in general, I need to be obedient to civil government. And in verse 18, the subjection of someone at work, my boss, and what he would have for me. In the home, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the wife being in subjection to the husband. It takes mental preparation. It takes a servant's attitude, as we talked about this morning in our Bible class. Verse 17, "Because I fear God and I respect those that are in authority, I'm going to be prepared to be subject and go through that relationship in life." With regard to many today, it's about rebellion. And it's about casting off authority. And it's about casting off restraint. And I need to be mentally prepared to be in subjection as God would have me to be. Look at the matter of suffering. Peter has a lot to say in the book of 1 Peter about suffering. He says some things in chapter 2 and 3, but turn with me to chapter 4. Are you ready to suffer? You ever thought about that? When you go to work, are you ready for a derogatory comment? Are you ready for that derogatory comment that might come from a family member or a coworker or something along those lines? There are different ways in which we suffer for the cause of Christ today. And one thing that we need to do is we need to gird up the loins of our mind. And when we do that, we're going to be ready for that suffering that is thrown our way. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, or as a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." There was a lot of suffering in the first century. Many Christians were, some were thrown to the lions, some were burned at the stake, some were tortured, some were put in prison. And while we do not have to undergo those types of things today, often our suffering simply involves, verse 14, the reproach that is done in word. But we are prepared to undergo that. Because verse 16, that's how we glorify God. We don't bear denominational names. Verse 16, we're just simply Christians. And those who worship here, we don't bear denominational names. We don't attend churches started by men. We just simply want to be a Christian following Christ. And sometimes that involves suffering. And if we're mentally prepared to face that, we will know the right thing to say. We're going to look at that in just a moment. We will do the right thing. We will act in the right way. Turn with me to chapter 2 with regard to suffering and look at Jesus Christ. When Jesus was put on trial and the Romans were beating him and spitting on him and they had placed the crown of thorns on his head, how did he react to that? His mind was focused on serving God. And he went through that in the right kind of way. And he set forth as the example. Look at this. In chapter 2, verse 21. "For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin." You know, some people sin when suffering comes their way. They give in to sin. Jesus didn't do that. "Neither was guile found in his mouth." So they're beating me and they're spitting on me, so I'm going to let one fly. You know, I'm just going to give it back to him. No, there wasn't any guile or deceit or bad words. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, threatened not,
Can you imagine if you were beating on Jesus and he decided to threaten you? Do you realize the problem that that would be? Someone who could call to his aid 10,000 angels? But he wasn't going to threaten. He wasn't going to return evil for evil. What did he do? The scripture says he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He was mentally ready and prepared simply to undergo this because it's a part of being committed to serving God. This is God's cup. This is what he wants. And it's not my will, but thy will be done, and I'm going to act right. He was mentally prepared as he went through that. And the scripture says there in verse 22 that that's the example for us. If we're not mentally prepared, we may lash out. We may return evil for evil. We may say the wrong thing. We may do the wrong thing. But with that mental preparation of being Christ-like, we're going to undergo any suffering that we have to undergo. And one last point, and the lesson is yours. Turn with me to chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is within you. If we're mentally prepared, we're going to be ready to talk with people about the gospel and about our service to God. And when someone comes up to us and asks us, well, why is it that you don't have instrumental music? Well, in the New Testament, Christians sang only without instruments. Why is it that you do this? Why is it that you do that? Why did you have the Lord's Supper today? Well, at our church, we have it monthly or quarterly or once a year. Why did you do it each Sunday? Well, Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, every week has a first day, we take the Lord's Supper. We're ready to give an answer, you see. And so we're mentally prepared. Our minds have been dwelling over those scriptures that we've been studying in the Bible class or last week's lesson, and our mind is on those passages, and so we're ready to give an answer. We're seeing a rise of Islam in our nation and around the world, and so we have a Muslim friend at work who says, well, why do you follow Jesus Christ instead of Muhammad? And so we talk with him about the fact that because Jesus was declared to be the Son of God, not just a man, we follow him. We don't just simply follow a man, Muhammad or anybody else. We're prepared to give an answer, whatever that might be. And so mental preparation will help us in being ready to give a defense for one's faith. Well, this morning, the admonition and the encouragement is mental readiness and preparation. You can think, I'm sure, of individuals that you know in your life that when they are about to undergo that which is important to them, we say they're focused, they're zoned in, as it were. The Bible way of saying that is, gird up the loins of your mind. We don't speak that way today. We would say, be ready and be focused. And that's the admonition for us this morning. And in doing that, we will find ourselves at the end of life, or when the Lord comes again, that inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, that'll be prepared for us because we have prepared our minds and our lives. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. So let's gird up the loins of our mind. Let us be ready and be prepared each day to serve the Lord. If we can assist you in your readiness and in your preparation this morning, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If you need to come forward and let some need be made known, let us help you to be ready for that judgment day. You're thinking right now as we sing the song, my mind is focused on what I need to do, the changes that I need to make. And I want to serve the Lord to the best of my ability. If you're an erring child of God and you need to come back through prayer and confession and repentance, or if you're here this morning having never named the name of Christ and need to put him on in baptism, we would encourage you to do that. Let's gird up the loins of our minds and leave this building this morning completely ready to be right with God. If we can assist you in any way, why would you come as we stand and sing?